Our study tonight is out of Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, God's sure punishment regardless of his close ties with Israel. When God needed a messenger to the wicked northern kingdom of Israel, when it was at the height of its spiritual rebellion against him, the Lord sent a layman from Judah named Amos, who was not a professional prophet. And he sent him to travel north into Israel to pronounce sharp judgment as a great warning to that nation. Later in the book of Amos, we're going to find that he makes a statement, "I'm not the prophet nor the son of the prophet, but the Lord told me to go, so here I am." Just like a layman, he's shooting from the hip. And sometimes that's the type of message you need. Someone is just direct. Well, Israel's people may have thought that God's close ties with them meant that they would not face his severe discipline. But God's perfectly balanced character allows his people no escape for either his discipline or his blessing. This is a lesson of Amos chapter 3, 1 to 15, and we view it for our insight, our application, and edification. One of the things about God that is remarkable is he's completely objective. He's not biased in any way, and he deals with every one of us without bias. There's no favoritism with God. It's just boom. If we relate to him in righteousness, he relates to us in blessing. If we don't, regardless who we are, he gets us. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Amos chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you alone have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can you walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him or snare? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord has not done it, or calamity in the city and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who can but fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces of the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not how to do right, saith the Lord, who stores up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus says the Lord God, an adversary there shall even be round about the land. He shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd takes out of the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus part of a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the greater, the wealthy houses shall have an end, saith the Lord." The message of Amos 3, 1 to 15 was directed not only to the northern kingdom of Israel, but to also to the southern kingdom of Judah, all 12 tribes that God had brought up out of the land of Egypt in the Exodus. Though these 12 tribes comprised the only people group God had personally known in covenant relationship out of all the families of the earth, he would still punish them for their many sins. The special privileges God bestowed on Israel by choosing them increased their ethical responsibilities and did not exempt them from judgment, as some had thought. See, there were some people thought, wait a minute, we're the select people, people chosen from all the people of the earth. God has chosen us. We're the apple of his eye. He's not going to punish us. God says, you better think otherwise. So as a result, Amos 3, 3-8 explains that Israel's punishment was unavoidable. There are a series, actually there are seven rhetorical questions that are given here in the Hebrew. And each one of them expects an affirmative answer. In other words, does something happen without something else happening? Well, of course that's going to happen. So I'm going to state only in the positive. First, Amos noted that two could not walk together unless they had agreed to do so. That's true. If people are in strong disagreement with one another, they don't walk together. They don't go down the same path in life. Second, Amos stated that a lion does not roar in the thicket unless he's spotted his prey and begun his charge to capture and to kill his prey. See, if a lion feels that he's out of range for the prey, he's not going to make a sound. He's going to be very stealthy and come up. I don't know if you've ever watched a kitty kind of creep up on a mouse or a little bug like that, and their tails may be wagging. All of a sudden, boom, away they go. And that's what a lion's like. The lion roars only when he feels he has the prey in hand. Third, Amos observed that a lion's growl in his den surely signals that he has captured his prey. Otherwise, he wouldn't be growling. Fourth, Amos claimed that a bird does not fall into a trap unless a snare was baited and set. Fifth, Amos wrote that a trap does not spring up from the ground unless something has triggered it. Sixth, Amos asserted that people do not tremble unless a war trumpet is sounded in the city. And seventh, Amos reported that disaster does not come upon a city unless the Lord determines it. That's an interesting statement. God is in complete control of the welfare of what happens to people in cities, nations, and whatnot. So if a huge disaster occurs, that's something that God has allowed. Now, he might actually have brought it, but he certainly allows it. Accordingly, just as each of these events surely occur because they have been caused to occur by former events, so the sovereign Lord does nothing in Israel's history without first revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. That verse to me, Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets, tells me that God doesn't play guessing games with us. If he's going to do anything in church history, he's going to tell us about it. And that was one thing that sparked me to study Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And they had come to believe already that those dealt with the eras of church history. But that ached me to go on into the seventh era. And I kept studying for 20 years, and boom, it really opened up. And I am convinced that God has revealed to his people throughout history what he's going to do, so they don't have to be playing a guessing game. However, once a lion has roared, who can but fear? So once the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? And this is another truth, too. If you're involved in ministry in any way, I've had this experience a number of times, and if you've filled the pulpit or teaching, there are times when the Lord will lay something upon your heart, and you might not even want to go in that direction. You might not even want to say something in that realm, but you can't get it off your mind. It's almost like you can't sleep at night. And so the Lord forces you to speak it, and then there's no rest until you speak it. That's the Lord. He'll do that. A couple of times I've gotten up to preach, and the Lord very strongly indicated, don't even go in the direction. I remember one Sunday years ago, I went into Psalm 23. I couldn't figure out why. But there was an overwhelming drive to get into Psalm 23. I went into it and it ministered to a person who was in great need that day. I knew nothing about it. So God communicates to his messengers, and it's like a lion. And when a lion roars, you fear. When God moves, you speak. Well, indeed, just as a shepherd, applying these statements about certain cause-effect relationships between specific events, God had Amos call for the imaginary heralds of Ashdod, of Philistia, and Egypt to gather on the mountains above Samaria to see what the city was like, to observe the great tumults within her and the oppression in her midst. God declared that his people of Israel did not know how to do what was right, for they stored up plunder and loot in their homes that they took from the vulnerable in their midst. For this reason, God said that an adversary would surround the land, bring down its defenses, and plunder its fortresses. Have you noticed how many times when God is pronouncing judgment on his people, what really irritates him is the mistreatment of people who are vulnerable in their midst. How we treat other people around us, especially people who are weak, God takes very, very seriously. So the best thing we can do to please the Lord is to help people who are fragile and weak, not take advantage of them. But this is interesting. It shows us also the heart of God. God has a very tender heart for people, especially for those who are weak. In fact, God is nigh those. He's near those who are of a crushed spirit, the psalmist tells us. So it's something that we need to keep in mind. So, indeed, just as a shepherd rescues from the mouth of a lion only two legs or a piece of an ear, so will the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued, but the corner of a couch or a part of a bed. In other words, there's not going to be many people rescued. Most of them are going to be destroyed because of the anger of the Lord. God testified against his people that on the day he punished them for their sins, he would punish the altars of the false god, golden calf idol at Bethel, the horns of that altar being cut off and falling in disgrace. God also announced that he would strike the winter house and the summer house of the wealthy who had abused the poor to acquire these houses, that the houses that had been luxuriously decorated with ivory would perish, that the wealthy houses built at the cost of robbing the vulnerable would come to an end. They actually did some excavatory work up in this area of Samaria, and they found bits of ivory that had actually been overlaid of pieces of wood and stone. That's why they call them houses of ivory. But this happened because the rich had gained their wealth from taking advantage of the poor. If a widow died, many times, I mean, if a husband died leaving a widow, the widow was vulnerable, so they would take her to court, trump up charges, and strip her of everything that she had. And of course, she had no means of livelihood, but they didn't care. And they would turn around and build these summer homes and winter homes and overlay these houses with ivory. Well, it infuriated the Lord. So he says, we're going to destroy the houses. So the lesson is that only the 12 tribes of Israel and all of the people of the world had known God in special covenant relationship, a relationship that should have evoked loving devotion to the Lord. Those tribes had violated that covenant to where they had abused the vulnerable in their midst, and that infuriated the Lord. Accordingly, God said that regardless of his special loving relationship with his people, he would surely severely punish them, causing them to face an invasion, be slain and plundered, punishing their sin of idolatry and their abuses against one another. So, in application, may we realize that belonging to the Lord as part of his flock, though a very blessed position, brings with it a great responsibility to love and to obey the Lord or suffer his severe discipline for sin. That's the same emphasis we had in last week's study. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given out, little is required. So it's very important. The more we've been granted of the Lord, the more opportunities to know his word and to know his will, the greater the responsibility. Accordingly, may we view our great position in Christ with reverence to God and humbly live for him. And then along with this, I didn't put this in here, but once again, remember the importance of how we treat people who are vulnerable, people who are less fortunate than we are, people who are handicapped, especially people who may be mentally handicapped or emotionally handicapped. They were born that way. God wants us to be very, very careful, very protective. The widows, the orphans, and the foreigners in their midst were the vulnerable. And those are the people God says, watch out for, because I, their maker, am their protector. So we always need to remember that. Paul brings this point up. He says, associate with those who are lowly rather than with the mighty. It's one of his passages, somewhere in the epistles. But it's a wonderful characteristic that God wants us to have the meekness and the humility to be very considerate of everybody, especially people who are down and out.